listening to the Fish on Ted podcast with your host, Ted Johnson.
Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. If I look at a calendar, it's March the 20th of 2023. We're coming up, at least in the Northwest, to a tremendous opportunity to catch some salmon again this year. We've been chatting with our guest prior to coming on board with you. We're just talking about all the great opportunities that we have in the Pacific Northwest and other places around the nation to pick up salmon and steelhead, and it should be just a banner year. Well, our guest today is Jared Higginbotham, and Jared is with Yakima Bait. I'm not going to steal any of his thunder, but maybe a little of it as we go through here. Jared, are you there, man?
Yes, sir.
Terrific. Well, welcome to the show once again. How are things in the state of Washington so far this year?
They're great, man. I mean, as far as fishing goes, it is absolutely outstanding. We've had a great steelhead season on the coast. You know, for winter steelhead, it's been pretty good.
Uh-huh.
You know, the weather's kind of cooperated for the most part. Been a little bit on the chilly side, but, you know, if you're going to be a winter steelhead fisherman, you can't be a sissy. You got to be fairly tough. So that kind of is game par for the course, so to speak.
Right. Well, very good. Well, very good. Well, Jared, you have been with Yakima Bait for how many years now?
It'd be 11 years this August.
Holy smokes. You know, and I was kind of preparing for this interview. I was looking at your websites and that kind of stuff. And for those that maybe not be as familiar with you in their part of the world as we are in ours, I was just blown away by all of the different entities that you sell product under now. I mean, you're kind of this mega tackle center out there. If I can just run through them. You know, if you've heard of Rooster Tails, that is now Yakima Bait. And Maglips, of course, under the Yakima Bait brand. You've got Wardens. You've got, is it Hildebrand? Is that, am I pronouncing that right?
Yep.
And then you have Pose, which is a wooden jig, is my understanding. And then you've got Flatfish and what's that?
Yes, sir. Yep.
You've got Little Corkies. You've got Fish Flash. You've got Walleye. Salmon and steelhead gear and jigs and lures and that sort of thing. Spin and Glow. Man, I got a lot of old Spin and Glow stuff in one of my tackle boxes. Triple Teaser. And the list goes on. I mean, you guys are just growing leaps and bounds in the industry. And obviously, you have a reputation that is going right along with it. What are we going to see from Yakima Bait, let's say, in the coming year? Anything new coming up, Jared?
Yeah, we do have a couple new salmon lures coming out that are, you know, pretty cool, pretty revolutionary, some really, really neat stuff, really fishy. We've been testing them with one of our pro staffers, Shane Magnuson, and, you know, those will be coming out in July. We've got the molds being built right now. We've had prototypes for about 3 years, and we've been testing them in different fisheries, and they're very fishy. They're very easy to use, and we're really excited to bring those out. We've got some new kokanee lures that are coming out, be kind of the first of their kind as far as in that kokanee market for that style of lure.
Right.
And we got some new scent products coming out that we partnered with Procure on, and so we'll have some new scent products coming out with those as well. So, you know, we're always on the move. I've got lists of stuff for about the next 5 years for new products to come out with. It's just about timing and time to get them finished.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, your title there is you're the Assistant Sales and Marketing Manager. But you shared with me something in kind of the pre-show discussion that we have, that you fished about 100 days last year. Is that right? I mean, that's incredible, man.
Yeah, probably. That's probably on the low end. So, yeah, probably at least 125-ish, I would say, or more. Yeah.
Wow. What a job you have. I mean, I can hear the folks kind of drooling on the other end of the line right now going, how in the world do I get to do that? I mean, you're living a dream, man, for a fisherman.
It's true. You know, I'm a farm kid, man. I grew up, I graduated with 52 people. I rode my horse to school. You know, my dad owned his own landscaping business. We owned 50 acres of orchard. And so I worked every day. And, you know, I remember when I was like 18 years old, I would prune 2,800 pear trees every winter by myself.
Holy
and I remember sitting out there listening to Hank Williams Jr., standing in a foot of snow, pruning these pear trees, thinking, man, I'd sure like to do what Bill Dance does and test fishing lures for a living. And, you know, lo and behold, here I sit.
Wow, that's awesome.
Pretty crazy, man.
And you have a mentor in the business in Buzz Ramsey that you're sort of filling his shoes right now. What a great opportunity that you've had to fish with, I mean, obviously a legend in the salmon fishing world.
Yeah, you know, Buzz has been one of my idols since I was a kid. I have been into fishing, you know, since I was young, and like just so much more than all my rest of my family and friends. You know, it was just a different level for me. And so I followed Buzz and read his articles and went to his seminars and everything as a kid. And so when I got the chance to come work with him, and, you know, he curbed my shortened my learning curve 30 years on how to design lures and how to get things to work and how to market them and how to sell them. And, you know, he became one of my very best friends. And, you know, so many times, you know, people say you'd never want to meet your idol, because, you know, you'll be disappointed. And that man exceeded every expectation I ever had for a human being. He is a great mentor. He's a great friend, and he's just a great human being. And filling his shoes is something I could never do. But I'm sure not going to let him down and give it my best effort. That's for darn sure.
Amen, brother. Holy smokes. That is awesome. And he's still around.
Yeah.
Isn't he? I mean, you're talking to him and fishing with him probably from to time. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I call him every week. We talk and text back and forth, just like college buddies. It's great, you know, and I invite him fishing. And so, you know, it's really neat because when you take Buzz fishing, wherever you go, you know, he's got the signature cowboy hat on. And so everybody you pass by is looking at you like, you know, you got a rock star in your boat. And it's just awesome, right? You know, and everybody wants to say hi to him and still take his photo and have him sign autographs. And I mean, he's just, you know, he's a fishing, you know, icon and just a great dude. And he still takes the time to stop and talk to everybody, but it's just fun taking him fishing. I just love it because, you know, I asked him a couple of years ago, I says, when he first retired, I took him fishing and I was like, he's not tied to anybody anymore. Not tied to Berkeley, not tied to Yakima Bay. He's not tied to Lure Jensen. He's not tied to anyone, right? Like he gets to be Buzz.
Yep.
And I asked him, I says, hey Buzz, I says, what's it like to that not have to be, you know, to only promote this or to do this, and you can fish whatever he wants now and do whatever he wants. And he goes, Jordy, it's one of the most freeing things ever. You know, for 45 years he was tied to some sort of name as far as a company, and so now he just gets to be, you know, Buzz Ramsey and go fishing, and it's great. I couldn't ask for a better retirement for my friend.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, that is so cool, man. So I'm just curious, you know, about your background. What was there a crowning moment when you were growing up? When you were going, you know, in that pear orchard, or was there a person involved that was taking you fishing? How did you get such a passion for the business?
You know, my dad was one of the hardest working men ever, and he would just take me, and no matter how tired he was on a Friday afternoon or whatever, on a Saturday, on a Sunday, always took me fishing. That guy never was too tired to ever take me hunting or fishing. And so I just, from the time I was little, I can remember I was just fishy. I mean, everything I had to do with fishing, I was just into. And so as I got older, I just fished all the time. My friends would be going to do concerts and doing whatever they were doing, and I would go fishing.
Right.
And I had a great job, and I'd married my wife and had a son on the way and everything. And I just got tired of working so hard at this job. And I was going to this tackle store called Hammer's Outdoor World every day to get stuff to talk. And the manager's like, hey man, or the owner, he's like, hey, I see you in here every day. He goes, do you want to come run this business? And I'm like, I'll teach you everything you need to know. I'm like, sure, man.
Wow.
Quit my job, went to work there, took a $40,000 a year pay cut, went to work there. And that's how I met all these connections in the industry. Well, the owners, I was there for 8 years and I made so many friends and connections and different things that, the owners were getting divorced to own the store.
Right.
So my owner friend, Mike Hammond, put an ad in the paper because I was a manager, said, hey, you know, great manager, you know, someone scooped this kid up type of thing. Right. And Yakima Bait, which is a local business here. It's only 15 miles from where the store was.
Right.
Buzz Ramsey and the president now, Dan McDonald, called me for an interview, hired me, and boom, here I sit.
Wow. That's amazing. Now you grew up around Yakima. Is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in a little town called Cowichi, Washington, and it's just about 20 miles west of Yakima towards the Cascades.
Oh, okay. And
population like 700 people.
Kind of central Washington area, and what a lot of people don't realize is that you've got a lot of salmon that come up your way. You've got the Chinook. I think you've got a run of sockeye. You've got you get coho and silver up that far too.
Yes, we get cohos. So it starts in the summertime or springtime, like right now. We get spring Chinook, we get summer run Chinook, we get sockeyes, we get fall Chinook, and we get coho. And our steelhead runs used to be really, really good, but they've dwindled, you know, and so we don't get the steelhead openers that we used to as far as the main stem Columbia, but a lot of the tributaries we're allowed to fish summer steelhead in. The Klickitat River is one of my home rivers just outside of Goldendale, Washington, and I fish that a lot during the summer in my drift boat.
Ah, very good. Very good. Gosh, and it just kind of grew from there, and sounds like all the dominoes fell and the ducks lined up, and here you are today, huh?
Yeah, I'm just a blessed individual, man. I have met the right people at the right times. And, you know, like I tell a lot of people, I took the risks to walk through open doors that a lot of people will just slam shut. And it paid off for me, you know, and just made some really great connections, great friends. And, you know, I have the most unique job in the world. You know, no one has my job, no one. Right. And so it's a very... very cool for me to be able to do this. And, you know, my job each day I created, it's different. You know what I mean? I get to choose what I want to do, so to speak, in a lot of regard. And so it's just a very, very unique job that I have. So when you say dream job, I for sure have every fisherman's dream job.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Yakima bait, it's really become a national force, hasn't it? Or actually international with some of the other countries that you're in and that sort of thing. You're being stocked by a lot of the sporting goods stores and outlets, and I would imagine everywhere else. I mean, that's that in itself must take up a tremendous amount of your time.
It does, you know, because every account is my account, you know, from Bass Pro to Walmart to, you know, mom and pops, you know, grocery stores to, you know, gas stations to, you know, independent retailers, everywhere, right? And, you know, online retailers. And so, you know, everybody is my account. And so, you know, they have full access to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I get phone calls starting at, you know, my time, 4 a.m., which is 7 a.m. in New York,
right.
And, you know, doesn't end until 10 o'clock at night, which is fine. I love it. You know what I mean? I get to talk fishing all day, so I really can't complain. And it just, you know, it builds the business. And, you know, Yakima Bait's been around since 1941.
Right.
As you explained, we have so many great products, you know what I mean? And we have more products that have been alive, you know, been in circulation for over 70 or 80 years than pretty much any other company in the U.S., which says a lot about, you know, those products, you know, like Spinning Glow, Rooster Tail, you know, all the Helan flatfish. Hildebrand's been around since 1899. We purchased them in, I think, the mid-90s. And so we've got all these brands that have been around for 70 or 80 years. And so there's so much neat history along with Yakima Bait, other than just being a fishing tackle manufacturer.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm just curious, what is your favorite fish to catch personally?
My favorite fish to catch is steelhead, without a question.
It is. How come?
Well, you know, steelhead fishing is difficult. Salmon are pretty predictable. They're fairly easy, you know what I mean, for the most part. And steelhead fishing, is when I go steelhead fishing, and me and my boy will be in my drift boat, and I'll have 18 rods in there with seven different methods because I never know what it's going to be that day, right? And there's just nothing like standing, you know, waist deep in a coastal river that's, you know, 40 degrees in the middle of the rainforest, you know, with rain sprinkling down on you in the perfect steelhead hole, thinking, when you know, casting out what you think is the most perfect presentation and watching your rod start to bend over or a float go down or a plug bite. And then all of a sudden, you know, for 3 to 5 minutes, it's just utter chaos of fish leaping, going through logs, you bouncing around halfway, falling in the water, fish shooting 30 feet this way, 30 feet that way, jumping, running between your legs. And the next thing you know, you get this beautiful chrome bullet in the net and it's just staring at you, you know what I mean? And you get to release it. And it's just, I don't know, man, there's just something about that whole process that just, to this day, just trips my trigger. I just absolutely love it.
Oh, it's a chess game, is it not? I mean, with all the different techniques and that sort of thing that you have to understand, and reading the water and reading the current, if you may, there's just a lot to that. And it's just a tremendous amount of fun. And, you know, a lot of strategy goes into that each and every trip.
Yeah, because you can do everything perfect, right? And you still lose the fish. And as my one of my dear friends, Bill Herzog, I call him Uncle Willie, he says, he's like, that's their job, Jared. He goes, their job is to get away. You know what I mean? And
right.
He's 100% right. That's their job.
Right.
You know, their job is to survive, and that's how they do it. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. You know, a couple of years ago, I had been living in Southeast Asia, and I came back to Oregon, where I call my home. And with me, I brought my my family with me, and our son, Louie, had never fished for steelhead before. And so we only live about 40 minutes from the town of Siletz, right on the Siletz River. And so we connected up with a guide friend of mine, and actually he's in the bead business. And anyway, we went and spent a little bit of time right at one of the landings teaching Louis how to use the gear and that sort of thing. We got down to the end of this point on this little island, and Randy said, cast right over there, and he did. And by God, he hooked up on his true first cast for steelhead, and he was hooked, man.
Oh.
He was absolutely hooked at that point. He had caught a number of Chinook in the months preceding that, but he like you were saying, I mean, the fish went chaotic on him, and he had a biggest smile on his face, and he was beat. That fish took him to the mat, man, and it was so cool.
Yep. Yeah. It is cool. You know, I went to the Quinault River this weekend, which is, you have to have a tribal guide. And one of my dearest friends, Rich Underwood, is a legend out there. He's, you know, been doing this for 40 years, and he is the best guide on the Quinault and the Queets Rivers. Uh-huh. And I took my girlfriend with me. She'd never fished steelhead before, ever. And my son, and I was telling her the whole way there, you know, about how difficult it is, and don't get discouraged, and keep casting, and blah, blah, blah. And we get there, and my son's second cast, he lands a 15-pounder, right?
Oh, really?
And... Right, 15-pounder. 3 minutes later, my girlfriend, all on her own, hooks and lands a 10-pounder all by herself. She'd never done it before. The fish jumped, you know, like 3 to 4 feet out of the water 4 or 5 times, and the excitement on her face was just amazing, right? And she's like, I get it. She goes, I understand why you're doing this. She's like, this is so cool. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you know that you took you 8 minutes to catch your first steelhead, and most people will fish for 2 years before they even get a chance?
That's right.
You know how lucky you are? And then she ended up catching two more.
Really?
So, really? Yeah, we landed 17 steelhead in the last 2 days, 16 or 17. I can't remember exactly, but, yeah. You know, it was phenomenal. And, yeah. And I just love that, man. It's just my favorite thing to do.
Now, was that a walk and wade trip, or were you in a boat?
No, we were in a jet boat on the Queets and the Quinault. And so, you know, we were doing bobber dogging techniques. You know, we were bobber dogging jigs and, you know, drift fishing spinning glows, bobber dogging beads. And then we just straight float fishing, you know, some jigs. We side drifted with corkies and eggs. We pulled plugs. We did it all. And we hit the whole gamut. And it was just, and the beauty of that river is, you know, where we were at, it's tribal guided only. And so there was only 10 people. On the water yesterday, only two boats. And so the entire river. And so in the entire world yesterday, only 9 other people got to see what I saw in the world yesterday, where I was at. And so it just makes it that much more unique and that much more special.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jared, thank you, man. That's quite an experience to share with us, and we appreciate that. So in regards to the spring season that's coming up for Chinook, and there's been some weird things happening on the West Coast with closures and the salt and that sort of thing, but we're actually expecting a really good salmon season again this year, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are up for pretty much every run of salmon coming from the spring to the fall to the coho run, and I'm excited, man. I mean, last year, I think I told you that, you know, my son and I, we get a fish a lot, and we landed over 800 salmon last year in our boat. Now, that's, like I said, with all my friends and different people, and again, I fish 120 days a year, and so that's really only 8 salmon a day. So, you know, it's not like, you know, that's a lot, so that's 8 fish a day we landed, basically. So,
that's a good season for many people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate, and I've always been very fishy, and I've always been very lucky, but I take, you know, a lot of time and a lot of prep work to get to those points, but yeah, I'm very excited for this year. I'm actually getting my boat ready this weekend. I'm going down for our first kickoff with my bunch of my very good friends and pro staffers down in Kathlamet, Washington, to catch the front end of that spring Chinook run. We're going to fish there for 3 days and, you know, get after it, drag some fish flash and some herring around, and just have some fun and barbecue on the boat and listen to music and catch some springers and enjoy life for this weekend. So it's I'm excited.
There you go. Tell us a little bit more about fish flash.
So fish flash is a triangle-shaped flasher, and what is it? It's an inline flasher. There's no drag on it, and its purpose is to attract fish, you know, from a distance to come in and check out your offering. And so you can fish flash with a multitude of different baits behind it. My choice this weekend is going to be herring, but you can use spoons, you can use spinners, you can use all sorts of different stuff. And the fish flash is, it rotates on its own axis, and our fish flash is made out of Lexan. They're very tough. They're UV impregnated, and so they give off a little bit extra glow from the body, and they just have different tape colors. And so basically it rotates around itself once every second, and so you get these horizontal beams of light coming off it once every second, and that's what attracts the fish and maybe pulls them in from a distance. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have your bait trailing anywhere from 3 to 6 feet behind it, and you know, it's just one of those things that just helps you catch more fish,
right?
Yeah, so I use them. We have them in 4 different sizes. We have them in 4-inch, 6-inch, 8-inch, and 10-inch. And basically the different sizes are for different styles of fishing or different fisheries or different clarities of water. So the dirtier the water, the bigger the flasher I'm going to use. And the cleaner the water, the smaller the flasher I'm going to use. Yes.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that considered like it's kind of an all-season type flasher, is it not? I mean, you can use those all year long.
You can use them all year long. You can use them from everything from kokanee and trout to walleye. I got guys in Hawaii that use them and daisy chain them together and sink them on a big rope, and then they use them to draw fish in, and they go down, they spear fish with them. So they're a very, you know, they're multi-species, you know, attractor that you can use in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can daisy chain them together. You can hook up 2 or 3 at a time and, you know, drag those to create more flash. And so, you know, it's a very unique and very simple to use product.
Right, right. So if you were a brand new fisherman and you ended up, you know, getting a boat and you're all in on this, what would you start using from the very beginning to try to catch a springer?
You know, if I was going to try to catch a springer from the very beginning, I would definitely use the fish flash and the herring, you know, method. It's very simple. It's been widely used. You know, dragging a herring around for salmon has been something that has been done for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just simply adding the flasher into the middle of it. And so, ideally when you're fishing for spring chinook, especially, you want to be close to the bottom because they tend to suck to the bottom and stay down there. That's where the warmer water is for the most part. And, they like to sit behind the little bitty humps of sand and different things, you know, and ledges. And so, you know, dragging a herring around, letting your lead slightly tick the bottom is, your best bet. And as slow as you can go and get your herring to roll, that's your best bet. That's probably the number one preferred method for spring chinook fishing early season,
right,
in the Northwest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you were telling me that you spent a little bit of time back in the Great Lakes fishing salmon and that sort of thing. There is that a different type of fishery than what we have in the Northwest? Do you fish it any differently?
You do. You know, the funny thing about the Great Lakes is it fishes a lot like the Puget Sound, and so they use a lot of downriggers, a lot of rotating flashers, flasher fly combos, spoons, you know, things like that. But they you know, they can fish 3 rods per person, and so
right,
you'll be fishing with 5 planer boards out each side. You'll be fishing with like an inside diver, outside diver, downriggers, flat lines, lead lines, copper lines, steel lines. I mean, they got all sorts of different ways to get their gear down. And the main difference that I noticed between the Great Lakes and here is they, a lot of times they have to fish them a lot deeper.
Right.
And since the quagga mussels has been in the Great Lakes, you know, it's really taken the clarity in the water and, you know, increased it tenfold because they filter it, you know. And so they use a lot of these methods that I just talked about, like the copper lines and the lead lines and stuff, to get away from the boat and get them out and down, because you might have 60 feet, 70 feet of visibility in some parts of the Great Lakes.
Wow.
So, you know, that's what their methods they're employing, are to get basically their gear out and away from their boat.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, they call those trawlers,
yeah,
here, don't they? I mean, with all those lines in the water,
yeah,
and
right,
that sort of thing. Holy smokes. They have a whole different fish.
It is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is crazy. It's a lot of fun, you know, and I've taken our methods the way we fish them here. You know, I mean, here we basically just fish lead balls, you know, with a flasher and some sort of bait offering behind it. And I've taken our methods there and done that in Lake Ontario and Lake Michigan. And it is very, very, very effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, it's pretty unique when you get to take something out here that works from West Coast, because there are fish. I mean, the fish in the Great Lakes came from the hatcheries on the Lewis River, right, and I believe the Cowlitz River in the 60s and 70s. So there are fish. They're genetically programmed the exact same way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they react the exact same way to the baits, you know, that we offer. And so I recently took our new lure, the Spinfish, out to Lake Ontario with my good friends Mark and Jake Romanak, and fished the Niagara Bar. And we crushed them. Like, they were blown away how well the spinfish worked compared to their traditional methods there. Really? So, you know, you'll see our new lure, the spinfish, out there more and more in the next few years, I'm sure.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about the spinfish. What is that?
So the spinfish is a unique way to combine, you know, bait with lure. Now, a lot of times when you're fishing a plug, you can wrap the bottom of the plug with a sardine or a herring or a tuna belly or anchovy or whatever you choose. Well, we took, and our guy named Marie Norman designed this bait, and we bought that company from him, and we, Buzz and I, designed two additional sizes. And what it is, it looks kind of like a flatfish, but it splits apart in the middle, and you can stuff bait inside of it. Generally, it's some sort of tuna and oil concoction that we use, and then, you know, it snips back together. But when you put it in the water, it rotates like a wounded bait fish. And so you're getting scent, you know, dispersed out the back of this thing, as well as the action of a wounded bait fish. And so, you know, it's just a really good combination, especially for predatory fish like salmon. You know, they're looking for that wounded bait fish to, you know, to chomp and eat. And so the spinfish is just been something that, I mean, it is, the spinfish has gone absolutely insane in the Northwest in the last couple of years. I mean, when I say insane, the numbers are off the chart. And we have a 2-inch, a 2.5, a 3-inch, and a 4-inch version. All work great for, you know, salmon. The most popular by far are the 2.5 and threes, because we fish those behind what we call 360 style flashers, like a Pro Troll style flasher, and that salmon just can't resist them. Like I said, we were in the ocean last year, and I fished nothing but spinfish, no bait, and we were catching 50 to 80 coho a day within 2 to 3 hours, you know what I mean? And it was just one, I mean, we had 5 fish on at one time, 4 to 5 times a day. It was insane, and they're so easy to fish.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing lure. Yeah. Pretty amazing lure.
Now, just to clarify, it sounds like off of the West Coast this year, that we will be able to fish for coho, will we not? It's just the Chinook season that has been regulated.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, yeah. So that,
that's what I'm understanding so far.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I guess it can change, can it not? But it seems like that's
it what can, you know, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, but, you know, I mean, I understand you got to do what you got to do. And so, you know, I'll still do my thing and fish, you know, as far as I know, in the Columbia River and all of our tributaries, we should be good. You know, in the Rogue Rivers and the Tillamook Bays and those types of things, it still should be good. I actually went down to the Rogue River last year and fished for 5 days. That is an amazing fishery. Very, very cool. My son and I went down there. We fished, went down there and we tried, because they fish down there. They fish fish flash and they fish anchovies. That's all they fish, 2-ounce leads.
Oh, really?
And we went down there to fish. Yeah, that's everybody fished that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down there to test and see if our spin fish with, you know, our 360 style flashers and spinners would work, our small spinners.
Right.
And we fished for 15 minutes the first day, and my boy dumped a 38 pounder.
Oh my God.
15 minutes into our first day.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Really? That's a pig.
No.
Man. Holy smokes.
That's a donkey. I mean, it was a monster of a fish.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did that for 5 days, and I think we ended up landing, we killed 24 fish, and we released, I think, 14 or 15 in those 5 days. And just amazing fishery. And the quality of the fish down there is just, mm-hmm. they're almost like spring Chinook. They're so good. And they're mean as fire. They're like Washington, D.C. gangster fish.
Oh, really?
I mean, they flat get after it. Oh,
really?
Man, they're mean. And they're fun to catch, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the takedowns are just brutal. And the fights are just, I mean, they're mean. They're fun fish to catch.
I take it you're going to go back.
Yep, I'm going back September 10th through the 16th this year. I already booked it.
Oh, good for you. Now, how long will you be fishing for springers and then the summer runs, personally? Are you going to be fishing those in the summer, or you switch up and go after summer steelhead? What's your game plan?
Well, generally I'll fish the spring Chinook, and technically after June 1st, every fish that crosses Bonneville Dam is considered a summer run, whether it's a spring Chinook or not. And so, yeah, but I'll fish those below Bonneville Dam on the Columbia River, and then I'll work my way up through all the tributaries, and then eventually I'll end up actually up in Brewster, which is about 450 miles from the mouth of the Columbia where I start, and I'll be fishing, you know, on the summer runs, the sockeyes there. in the month of July, and then August 1st, buoy 10 opens, so I'll go all the way back down to the mouth, and I'll fish buoy 10, and then I'll work my way back upstream, fishing the tributaries, bouncing down to the Rogue, or over to Tillamook, or over to CQ, or wherever is open, and fish those as well. So,
right.
Yeah.
And tell us a little about the sockeye up in your part of the world, because I was just introduced to that fishery going, holy smokes, you've got quite a run of them up there, don't you?
Yeah, last year I think we had almost 600,000. We were only supposed to get like 150, but the sockeye run, and they all go up, and they go up up into basically the mouth of the Okanagan River, and they stage there, which is just outside of Brewster, Washington.
Right.
And they'll stage there until the Okanagan River gets cool enough that they can shoot up it, and I can't remember the name of the lake. It's a funny name lake that they go up to spawn. And so those fish, you know, they go up basically through the Columbia. They plunk form a little bit in the lower river below Bonneville, and as they get up towards up over a few dams, and they start to slow down about Wanapum Dam, they open the summer fishery there July 1st, and it's just phenomenal. And then you catch them there, and we move up to Rock Island Dam, then we move up to Wells Dam, move up to, you know, Chelan Falls, and then eventually up to Brewster. And so we just kind of follow them all the way up there. And if you've never eaten a sockeye, they are absolutely delicious little butterballs.
Absolutely.
And the cool part about that is a lot of times your limit for sockeye is either two or four, plus you can keep two summer run schnook. And so you have the opportunity to keep six salmon a day.
Wow.
And sockeye are funny. You can target them a multitude of different ways. One of my favorite ways is just a prawn spinner. So we just use a rotating 360 style Pro Troll flasher, about 32 to 34 inches a leader, a couple of small beads, a small 3.5 Hildebrandt blade, and then a chunk of coon shrimp on there. And those sockeye just murder that thing. I mean, it's one after another. So it's a really effective way and a fun way to fish. And then, you got the chance of catching, you know, a 30, 35 pound summer run while you're up there too. So, it's a pretty cool fishery.
Wow.
The only problem with that fishery is it is hot. Usually it's 100 to 110 degrees up there. And so it is brutal hot, but it is fun.
Yeah. I've got plans to go up there this year and give that a try. That just sounds like a whole lot of fun to me. And I don't mind fishing in shorts at all, you know. I might get burnt, but what the heck, you know?
Yeah. But it's great. You know, we launch our boats at 4:30, you know, and you get out there, and most of the time you have your limits of sockeye before you ever even see the sun. So, you know, after that, it's pretty much you just put on your bigger king gear and try to, you know, catch those guys. So, you know, we're usually off the water by 10 o'clock. Now, most people are. Me, I like to stay out and fish, and so I just stay out there and keep my water hose and the sunblock on and just keep jumping in the water and just keep fishing, because I didn't go up there to sunbathe. I went up there to fish.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to go up there and spend my time fishing, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Exactly. Well, Jared, man, we sure appreciate the chance to talk with you, and it's always just you're just a plethora of information about you provide from Yakima and your fishing techniques and that sort of thing. How do people find the Yakima products? I know that you're in a lot of the sporting goods stores throughout the nation, and you have a great website where they can pick it up. Is that where you would be directing people at this point?
Yeah, so our website, we built a new one, and so it is, we have 16,000 items to input, and so it's not up and functioning quite yet, but you can email customerservice@yakimabait.com with your request.
Right.
You know, for instance, if you want 5 black 1/8 ounce rooster tails, email customerservice@yakimabait.com with that request. If we have them in stock, we'll go ahead and take your card and ship them. If we don't, we're not taking the order right now because we don't want a bunch of back orders, but you know, you can find our products, everything from Bass Pro and Cabela's to Walmart's to basically a lot of your local sporting goods stores will have them. I mean, everything from like a Fisherman's Marine, Sport Co, Bob's Sporting Goods here in the Northwest are big retailers of ours, to, you know, in Michigan, Jay's Sporting Goods has a great selection of our gear, Academy Sporting Goods chain down through the Talos States, you know, and so you can find our product in pretty much any store.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a catalog downloadable right online at our website, yakimabait.com. You can scroll to the bottom and download our new catalog to see what products we do offer. And, so, you know, we're pretty readily available. And, you know, if you just do an internet search, you know, you can pretty much find that gear anywhere. So
you bet. And I know that the show season is sort of wrapping up here on the West Coast. But are you guys going to be at any of the other fishing shows coming up?
Oh yeah. My show season doesn't stop till October. I travel all across the country going to different distributor shows, consumer shows, industry shows. So my next big show that I'm going to go to is ICAST in Orlando, obviously in July, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. I love that show.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been to that, but that's on my bucket list, man. That sounds like a whole lot of fun. But anyway,
it's a lot of fun, man. You're going to meet a lot of people. And it's definitely a dog and pony show. You see some really neat stuff, the displays and the booths and the celebrities and stuff that are there. It's just a really neat show to go to. If you're able to get down there and check that out, it's pretty cool. It's an industry only show. So you can't, you're in the industry obviously, but so I don't want to confuse people and let them know that you can just buy a ticket and walk in, cause that's not how it works. But, but it is a really, really neat show.
Oh, that's cool, man. Jared, thank you so much for being our guest today. We're looking forward to talking to you in the future about how the 2023 season ended up for you. And, keep it going. And we appreciate your passion for the industry.
Yeah, for sure, my man. You'll have to hit me up one day when I'm actually on the water, and we'll do a live podcast on the water, and you can hear all the excitement for when we're catching fish and all the chaos that goes on. That'd be pretty fun, too.
I will take you up on that. You take care. Tight lines, my friend.